disciples in Galilee. We're following on in the resurrection theme. And the risen Lord, we're following along in the end of Matthew. So last week we talked about the resurrection. Now in Matthew, we're having him meet his disciples on that mountain. And knowing that he is risen. Now, as instructed, the disciples go to Galilee, and they gather with Jesus on the mountain at the agreed spot. It's not said in the text where that is, but it's implied. And I'll tell you more about that a little later. Their encounter causes mixed reactions. As you can imagine, some were ready to worship, but others were quite not yet ready and are skeptical. And that's okay. Some of us are maybe moving faster and some move slower to belief. I mean, remember the story of doubting Thomas, you know, having to feel those points. And this is reflected in Matthew. It's part of the proof, I think, that authenticates the text as truly written as it is, because it doesn't say, oh, they all just wonderfully believed. It says, no, they worshiped. Some weren't ready yet, and the Lord brought them along. Most importantly, what he's presenting to them is that he's been granted all authority due to his victory over sin, death, and Satan. Jesus has come to them as their risen king, Christ the risen king, which is a text from Revelation 1, 9 and 20. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the Lord because in heaven and on earth, this is a picture of heaven and earth, because God gives us victory over sin and death. He has won the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not only that, he's defeated Satan himself. And now he gives them the great commission based on the fact that he has the keys in his hand. In Revelation 1, his keys are in his hand, command over the keys of death and Hades. Jesus is the one who has authority. He promises to be the ever-dwelling and present Lord until the end of time. And he says, above all else, what we need to remember is we are not alone in our Christian walk, because that last text says he will be with us to the end of the age. Let's pray a moment. Dear God, as we look at these final verses of the Gospel of Matthew, at the end, they're very familiar, but they're also very profound. And we pray that you may help us in our spirit to detect and discern what we can use to help us continue to produce a harvest of righteousness and goodness, Lord, for you, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the scripture reading is Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the end of the chapter. It's very simple. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, as I talk about authority, I want to remind you that in the Gospel of Matthew, authority is a very big subject. Matthew 7, Jesus teaches as one who has authority. The authority he teaches with is unique. And then the centurion meets Jesus, wants healing for his servant or his daughter, I'm not sure, in Matthew 8. But he says, "I'm a man under authority, and I tell the soldiers to go there or go there." And he's saying to Jesus, "You have the authority to command the sickness out of my servant." He's acknowledging Jesus' authority. And Matthew 9, "I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Jesus then forgives sins and he heals the paralyzed guy in front of him. And then in Matthew 10, Jesus delegates authority to his 12 disciples to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. And then Matthew 20, Jesus deals with authority about how Gentiles lord it over, and their high officials exercise authority, like dominate over you. We'll talk about that dominating authority. But Jesus gives us empowering authority to go forth and do God's will. And then Jesus is tested about his authority, and he says, I'll tell you what authority I'm doing these things if you come to me in faith. And I'll tell you, I'll show you my authority. So, as we go to this text, there's a fascinating element here, which I think you'll find very interesting. When Jesus meets his disciples at the mountain in Galilee, there's a church built here. It's called the Church of the Beatitudes. So very, very likely, the mountain Jesus called them to was the Sermon on the Mount. And they have a dedicated temple there. It's a beautiful spot along the Sea of Galilee. Maybe Sita and family and, you know, Nancy were there. I don't know. They didn't go to Jerusalem, but they went to the Dead Sea, and I'm not sure what other parts they saw. It's a beautiful spot along the Sea of Galilee. So there is the mountain where Jesus both taught with great authority, and he appointed his 12 disciples. And it would be a perfectly logical place to go and gather with his disciples to demonstrate to them that all authority in heaven and earth has been granted to him. And he wants to provide his disciples the assurance that they will be able to go out and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. So here is just a representation of Jesus affirming the 12, which obviously get reduced by one, Judas Iscariot is their betrayer, but then gets reinstated by them appointing a new apostle in the first chapter. The reason that Jesus is able to tell them to go to the ends of the earth is that his authority is supreme. It overrules any and all authorities that they will encounter. Every knee shall bow one day to the name of Jesus. And Christ is supreme, as Colossians repeats. It's a theme throughout the scriptures. Colossians 1 says, Christ is the supreme one. And it's, in fact, the main point of the whole entire Bible, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord of all and that he is at the heart of God's mission of redemption. In Revelation, he is presented as ruler of the kings of the earth. And in his hands, he's holding the keys of, here's the King of Kings slide, sorry. Jesus is King of Kings. And in his hand, he's holding the two keys. The keys of death and Hades is a great statue which represents those two keys. He holds the keys of death, and he holds the keys of Hades, and he's in command of them. This is all granted to him as his earned right, this human being who's also God the Son. The ruling has been granted in the creation to the crown of creation, the human race. That was what happened at creation. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says, the Lord Jesus makes man, makes a male and female, and he says to them, have dominion. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. Now they receive dominion, but the authority gets usurped by the devil, by Satan, who tempts them and they fall. And at every opportunity, Satan is always seeking to usurp authority and take control. And he bends that authority to his own destructive purposes. And even 1 John 5:19 describes and depicts this thing. The whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, but it needs to have a message of liberation coming from the disciples who are empowered and know and are confident to be able to proclaim the lordship of Jesus Christ, because he has granted us that power, and he holds that power, and he releases us in it. Due to Jesus' victory, dying on the cross, death having no hold on him, setting prisoners free from their dungeons, he has won the right to take back the authority. Wonderful picture of breaking the chain, no domination. And then repeating that verse, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is all-encompassing. That heaven includes the whole universe and whatever other, and all the dimensions of heaven and all the ranks of angels, and includes Satan himself, who's just a fallen angel anyway, and all of the earth, all the kings, all the authorities, all the powers, anything that you can find or see, every square inch is a wonderful newsletter written from Calvin University, and it describes Jesus' lordship over every square inch of the earth. Now, the authority of the Lord is for the mission of God, to get every ear to hear and every heart to perceive that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're going forth on a mission with Jesus, and his authority is with us. And we are called to make disciples, like the disciples in the beginning, but any disciple follows, is all following the same command of Jesus, calling us, come follow me. We tell people that God is calling them. We ask them to listen to the Master's voice, to recognize their fallen position and recognize their sin, which nobody likes to hear about. None of us like to contemplate our sin, falling short of the holiness of God. No one wants to dwell on it. But the gospel is for sinners. And until you recognize your sin and recognize the holiness of God, you are not going to be found. You're not going to be following and become a disciple. And so we can come home to our Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we do, we are saying, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done, not mine. And what they are to do in their teaching is to teach people to obey everything Jesus has commanded his disciples about. So there is submission and obedience and reformation of mind and heart so that you live out the new life in Christ. Martin Luther said this about the Scriptures. He said, I'm well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction in all that I need to know, both for this life and for that which is to come. So he is saying, thy will be done, Lord. I'm going to be learning and listening what you have to tell me. And it's all about discipleship. So we're a disciple. Be a disciple. And go out and make other disciples. Now the Lord, in coming to them on the mountain, the Beatitude, Mount of Beatitudes, he's coming to them to make peace and give them grace. He's coming to give them as a blessing. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. May there be so much grace and peace in your life that it's shared, that you're sharing it, that you're spreading it, that it's going forth from you into the lives of others around you. That's how you become a disciple maker. The Lord God is not at war with us. He wants to remove our sin, and he is in total opposition to it. He wants to heal us from it, but he's not at war with us. God is not a temperamental God whom you have to placate. He is all-powerful as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In him, all things have their beginning, and in him, all things have their ending. So yes, there is to be fear of the Lord, which is honor and obedience, but he is not fickle. There is an established authority in God, which he shares with us through the gospel. And he wants us to know it, and he wants us to be assured that in Christ, we have our beginning and our ending. In him, we start our life in Christ, and in him, he will bring it to a conclusion. He holds us fast. He will hold me fast. It's one of our themes we've sung about. Now, as I was talking about, authority runs through the Bible as a constant theme. Who will be in charge? Why does the Lord have to rescue us from the worst authority of all, ourselves? We are our own worst enemy. He grants it to us at creation, this authority, to have dominion over the earth. But we lose it through the fall. It gets usurped. And then through his servants, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the Israelites, he seeks to regain that authority and establishes it in the law and his presence in them. They worship in the temple. They bring their sacrifices to compensate or give atonement for their sins. But obviously, all of their work in the temple is not enough. God has to bring Jesus Christ himself to be the final Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and then release the power of the Holy Spirit in us for us to live and be able to say, "Thy will be done." Now, the kings of earth never delivered justice or freedom. Even in this century, we know about the abuse of power. Joseph Stalin, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Franco from Spain, and Tojo from Japan. They assemble absolute power, demand absolute devotion from their subjects, but the power always goes astray when it's not under Christ. And it always will take away justice and it will take away freedom, this earthly authority, because it's usurped by the enemy, as you can see. So finally, the one whom God sends will be the one on whose shoulders the government is established forever, the promised one, our Lord Jesus, Messiah. And he establishes God's authority. And that's why he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The rule of Jesus Christ is now constant and granted on our behalf for those who follow him, those who believe in him, those who have given their lives to him. Jesus has said to us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me for you to go and make disciples, for you to go forth and be confident of knowing he is with you." We celebrate the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at our communion table, in our baptism, the baptismal font, in our worship together, as we've done this morning, in our devotions, in our own prayer life at home, in our building of this church. We're going to remember its 20th anniversary, building of a building to be a home for a congregation that will seek to fulfill God's will, that will seek to be saying continually, "Thy will be done, O Lord," and glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. There is tremendous power in that, because the Lord Jesus is present with us as our good shepherd who comes along with us. We say, "What a friend we have in Jesus," in our song. And that's not a wrong song to sing, because he accompanies us along the way, as we know and testify in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But he's also our Lord and our King, the authorized ruler of all. All of creation bows to him and acknowledges him as the maker. And there's tremendous gravity in this situation. As the disciples will move along in their apostleship, every disciple of Jesus must finally come to truly believe that they are representing the glorified Lord Jesus. And I think this is exactly who the apostles become. They become people who are convinced, not doubting anymore, but convinced that they represent the glorified Lord Jesus who's in heaven, and they become his ambassador. They become a person who presents the presence of Christ into the world. Wherever you step, as you go out the doors, if you go home this Sunday and go forth into your work week this week, wherever you step, you are carrying the presence of Christ. You are under his authority and dominion. And it's without equal on the earth. It's a tremendous, powerful thought to know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And, you know, there's a scene in the pictures of Dracula, for example, and you're going to stop the vampire by pulling the cross up. Put the cross in front of him, and he's going to run away. It's a caricature of what's the truth. The truth is, the name of Jesus will make them run. Not the cross itself, but the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. That's how you exorcise. That's how you actually, with an O in the middle, exorcise. The driving out of demons is, you know, and what Paul Peter says at the entrance to the temple to the layman. He says, "I don't have silver and I don't have gold to go into your collecting basket, but what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And he does. And so he's proclaiming the name of Jesus wherever he goes. So do not be hesitant to say, I'm a follower of God, I love God, and I follow and serve Jesus. That is what we should be ready and willing to say, no matter who we meet or encounter. And I'm going to give you just a few tips of the things that we say in our faith life, in our walking forward. We need to be people who yield to the will of God, who say, thy will be done. So we must repent of our own egotism, following the authority of ourselves. We must repent of following the authority of anyone else in the world. There is no other power that we should yield to but our Lord Jesus. Thy will be done. We need to be confident as we go forth and know that He will provide us all we need for sustenance and guidance. My God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying when He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He will supply all of your needs. You need to be confident of that. And you need to be comforted, knowing that surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. He will not leave us. He will go with us. He will follow us into the darkest pits, and He will celebrate with us on the highest mountains. And His provision is infinite. All the authority, all the resources of heaven and earth come to play. And then we finally need to know our faith and develop our ability to share it. We are disciples who are making disciples. And I love this picture because it said just plus one. You're a one. Just add a plus one wherever you can. And we are called to call people to the way of thy will be done wherever we go. And our final reason for this is because He is risen. He is truly risen. He is risen indeed. May the risen Lord Jesus be with us from this day and forward. Amen. Dear God, we thank You for this powerful text. Thank You that the disciples went to the Mount of Beatitudes, where You said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meekness which says, You are Lord. I am nothing before You, Lord. I am humble. I am broken. I am yielded before You, and I put You first. And I say to You, take the throne of my life, and I will follow You. Thank You for those who knew at that moment to worship You. Thank You for those who had questions and skepticism, and You worked with them, Lord. You walked with them, and You provided for them, and You comforted them. And we thank You, Lord, that we go forth and we can baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, knowing that You are a triune God who has revealed Yourself as a Father, revealed Yourself as the God who created all things, the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. And You are the Son who came to us, was born in a manger, died on a cross, but in the meantime lived among us and showed us how to live. And may we follow His model and learn from His example always. And You are God, the Holy Spirit, who inspires us and moves us and convicts us of our sins and helps us to pray in words that we cannot express. Bless Your holy name. Help us to continually be teaching and learning all that You are telling us and showing us, our Lord Jesus. And we thank You that You are with us to the end of the age. Amen. Let's rise together and